Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.
Welcome to Season 5 of The Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom, where we talk with enterprise and technology platform leaders about the people, processes, and platforms that make marketing and customer experience successful, scalable, and sustainable. This is what creates an agile brand. I'm your host, Greg Kilstrom, advisor and consultant for Fortune 1000 marketing and CX leaders and teams as principal and chief strategist at GK5A and best-selling author, keynote speaker, entrepreneur, and Agile certified coach. The Agile Brand Podcast is brought to you by Tech Systems, an industry leader in full stack technology services, talent services, and real world application. For more information, go to teksystems.com. To sign up for the Agile Brand newsletter and get the latest insights and articles on marketing technology and CX, or to purchase a copy of my latest book, House of the Customer, go to gregkilstrom.com. You can also find all my books on Amazon and other retailers. And now on to the show. Today we're going to talk about building a culture of experimentation and how it can benefit B2B brands. To help me discuss this topic, I'd like to welcome Kirsty Daw, CEO at Webio. Kirsty, welcome to the show.
Hey, Greg. Thanks so much for having me. Yeah, and I'm really excited to chat about this topic.
Yeah, looking forward to talking about it with you as well. Why don't we start with you giving a little background on yourself as well as what you're currently doing at Webio?
Sure. Yeah, so I'm Kirsty Daw. I am CEO of Webio. We are a B2B website personalization platform that really support our customers with their goals of driving more revenue from their B2B website. So experimentation is very much at the heart of that. From my perspective, I think the reason I, you know, ended up doing this role with Webio and leveraging the power of software is I'm a marketer by trade, by background. So I've been client side, worked for B2B brands, I built and ran an agency, and you know, I see the challenge that B2B organizations have in terms of, you know, creating an experience that is relevant, is really going to resonate, cutting through the noise that exists within the B2B space. And I also, I think, feel the pain of trying to implement some of this stuff as well. I bought technology when I was a marketer, I've used technology. So hopefully I'm able to add a lot of value to our customers in terms of how we develop the product, how we provide resources to support them, and just deliver best practice.
Yeah, great. Well, so let's, we're here today to talk about building a culture of experimentation. And so your company, as you mentioned, Webio, focuses on B2B companies. So we're going to primarily focus on things from a B2B perspective, but I would assume a lot of what we're going to talk about probably applies to all types of companies. But first, to get started, what are some common misconceptions about experimentation and innovation in business? And how can leaders work to dispel these myths within their organizations?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely, if I think of B2C versus B2B, in the B2C world, experimentation is just part of our DNA. You know, we understand the need to be agile, particularly in the e-commerce space. And so when I'm thinking about like the digital space and websites, I think there's a massive void between how agile we are in B2C and how we are in B2B. In B2B, there's, you know, especially because we have a lot of traditional industries, you know, things like manufacturing and professional service and things like that, there is that idea that we have to have like a staid business type culture, which means we can't experiment, we can't try new things, we can't put ourselves out there and innovate, because we're B2B, we're talking to shareholders and we're talking to, serious decision makers who are in that kind of environment. That's absolutely not the case, because of course, whether we're B2B or B2C, we are all communicating with and looking to influence human beings. So I think that's definitely the chasm that I see within B2C and B2B is B2B need to keep remembering that they are influencing human beings. And of course, then that's where that cultural experimentation can really come in. I think there's also much more fear of failure in more traditional industries. So, I'm not gonna try that because it might not work. Whereas in B2C, and you know what, in some industries and B2B, like technology, they are not afraid of failing and, trying new things, but a lot of the more traditional industries are. And finally, I would just say that in B2B, I don't think that marketing are always given the voice that they should have from, an experimentation and an innovation perspective. So perhaps in some organizations, marketing reporting directly into sales, and they don't have that voice at board level. So they aren't able to talk about the things that they really want to test and learn and try because of where they fit within the organization. But we need to educate people that the only way to learn new things and to innovate is to experiment. And you know what? It is not about having an idea that is right.
Right.
It's about having a hypothesis that may or may not deliver the improvement that you're looking for. But by failing, you have an answer and you're further forward, and that's all part of the journey.
Yeah, definitely. And, I think it's about learning, and I know we'll talk about this a little bit more too, but, it's also about, we experiment so the business can grow as well, right? So, how do you look at experimentation in terms of business and business growth, business success? And, how do you couch that in terms of, what can a business expect to see when they start investing in experimentation?
Yeah, so obviously there are so many places that you can, or functions you can experiment within an organization. Typically we're working with customers experimenting from a marketing perspective, but there are tons of experiments that happen with product. I would say in terms of results, it all comes back to data. So when we think about marketing, we are absolutely saying to our customers, go wide first. Do something that's simple, but that influences a wider audience and get to results more quickly. Because then you start to build a flow and you start to deliver some quick wins into the organization. And that's when they start to adopt that culture of experimentation. If you try and do something like super clever, really deep, that maybe only impacts like a few customers, it's going to take a long time for you to be able to truly build a picture of whether that experiment has been successful or not. So I think the first benefit is, you give people the chance to win, or at least the chance to prove things fast. And the more data you're working with, the faster you can do that. And then everyone gets really bought into it. And, we've seen examples where, a customer has made one simple change and it's more than three times their conversion. Well, all of a sudden, that's huge revenues into the organization. And it's those really, it can be the simplest thing. And that idea and that hypothesis can come from anyone. If you give yourself the opportunity to go wider on the data, you'll get a better result and you'll get it faster, and then everyone will continue to be bought in.
Yeah, yeah. And so you touched on this a little bit earlier, but I think there's a lot of not industries, but people within companies that are totally on board with this already, and they're they kind of get it. But then there's others that either don't, or maybe there's just some maybe a cultural thing of fear of failure, or, you know, fear of repercussions if there is failure, or, you know, there could be any number of challenges that are facing companies. How do you coach a company to work through some of this, either whether it's resistance or fear of maybe doing the wrong thing or something like that, when experimentation is really the goal and the outcome?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing that, from an experimentation perspective, that most people struggle with is what I call having a blank sheet of paper.
Yeah.
So not knowing where to start. Because, of course, there are so many things you can do that can be paralyzing. So I think best practice from creating a hypothesis or having inspiration on what has already worked for other people that look like them is a really, really good way to get people started. So looking outside and seeing, you know, what has worked for other organizations. And for us, that's part of our role as a vendor, is to show our customers, right, well, these are things that other customers that look like you have done that have been successful. So why don't we try something like that first? And that then gives them comfort to go with something. But it is like, you've just got to do something. I think there's definitely a challenge around resource. It is, you've got to think about the time that you need to dedicate to this and plan for this. And that's before you even look at your first hypothesis. It's like, I need time to look at data and tell me what things I could work on, what could I leverage that would make a high impact within my organization. And, you know, I see a lot of very successful companies having that time carved out, whether that's, you know, an afternoon once a week or every couple of weeks or once a month, just for thinking about and implementing experimentation. And I think if it's built into your working day, it happens. If it becomes, we could try this and see what happens, then it's never going to become a habit. And that's what it has to be. It has to be a habit of, right, you know, continue to test, learn, implement a test, then make it better, then, you know, continue to drive us forward. So those are the two things. And I think there's definitely, I see this a lot, is there, you know, that there is a challenge with culture and legacy employees, maybe people who have been happy with the status quo, being afraid of change and what that might mean for them and their role, and that can build resistance to experimentation. So it's really important that there's a strong why behind that, that people really get it and that they're bought into it.
Before we continue, I'd like to introduce you to a sponsor of the show, Partner Hero. Customer service outsourcing has long been available mainly to large enterprise businesses with long-term contracts and onerous procurement processes. Partner Hero is challenging business as usual and bringing the benefits of outsourcing to small and medium businesses as well as startups. With short, flexible contracts and fast ramp-up times, Partner Hero is making customer support outsourcing a viable option for small and medium businesses and startups. It's perfect for companies with seasonality expecting a temporary spike in volume or that simply need to scale up. And their focus on quality means your customers will get an experience that feels like it comes from your team. If you're ready to bring in outside customer support help for your company that feels like it's part of your existing team, check out Partner Hero. Head on over to partnerhero.com/agile, that's partnerhero.com/AGILE, to book a free consultation with their solutions team. Mention you heard about Partner Hero from the Agile brand and they'll waive the setup fee. Now let's get back to the show.
And so for those orgs and those people that are doing it well, even if they're not experts at experimentation per se, but they're getting a lot out of it, you know, what do you see from an employee engagement and motivation standpoint? So, you know, the cultural aspects of this, you know, what kind of impacts does experimentation done well have on employee engagement?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's if I think about our engineers, if I think about our marketing team, the product team, that's what we thrive on. You know, we come to work to make a difference. People love being curious and they love feeling like their ideas count and that there is an opportunity to be listened to. So from a retention perspective, I don't think there's anything better. I think there are some things that we can do from a cultural perspective to make that culture of experimentation easier and more enjoyable. So, of course, like everybody wants to be able to share an idea and feel that their ideas count. But what we should do is we should celebrate success and we should also celebrate learning from failures. And those failures need to be presented as successes because we've learned what doesn't work. And they need to be presented across the organization. So I'm a real fan of talking about experimentation in OKRs, in all hands, in every function. You know, we can experiment as much in the finance team, you know, in terms of how we collect cash or the messages we send to customers or whatever, or, you know, payment. There's loads of things that we can do there as much as we can do in, you know, marketing and product. So I think it's having that built into those OKRs is a great way to do it because it ties back into the overall goal and objective of the organization. So if you're doing an experiment, it is like, okay, well, why are we doing that? What does that help us work towards from an objectives perspective? And then every function can have, you know, something that they're planning in as an initiative and an experiment they're working towards every month. And then sharing it just becomes a part of, you know, our ongoing communication.
Yeah, yeah. And so how do you, for those organizations that are, let's say they're not quite as far along, they're interested in becoming more experimental and in fostering kind of some of the things that you were just mentioning, what are some strategies that an organization can use to get moving in that direction, you know, knowing that they may be starting from scratch even?
Yeah, I honestly think the first thing to get people innovating in a powerful way, it's the starting point has to be that they have absolute clarity on the company's overall goals. So what are we all working towards together? So that's the first point is like clarity. And then the second point I think is confidence to be able to communicate my ideas because now I know what I'm aiming for. We're all aiming for together and where my function fits within that. I can then make that suggestion with the confidence that it fits towards or it works towards that overall objective. And then the last piece is, you know, consequences, like what am I expecting to get out of that in terms of a business result? So if people don't understand what the organization is aiming for, the experiments won't be as powerful because they'll have their own little silo and their own, this is what I think we should. Whereas if they're, you know, centrally aligned, it will be much more powerful. The other one that I think is essential is to give employees easy access to data.
Yeah.
Good quality data for a start. Have data because sometimes that doesn't even exist in organizations. So obviously that's really, really key. But then make sure that people have easy access to that to be able to, one, make a decision about where to start. Like, what should we test? What should we experiment with? Where do we think is going to have the biggest impact? So I spend my time on the right things. And then the analytics I need to be able to actually prove the results. And then that's where tools and technology come in. So giving your people the tools and technology to support a culture of experimentation, but again, don't use a sledgehammer to crack a walnut. So if you're starting on an experimentation journey, you need something simple. you don't need an all singing, all dancing AI-based platform. And the likelihood is that you'll end up spending on something that you won't use. So start really, really simple, but use the technology that's out there. Another one that's really, really common, particularly in marketing actually, is us not giving experiments enough time to succeed or letting experiments have enough data within them. So we talk a lot about statistical significance and, okay, so we are working towards a 95% level of confidence or a 99% level of confidence. Well, you've got to have a reasonable amount of data to go into those tests, and you shouldn't make a decision either way until you've reached that. And the problem with going too soon is either you abandon the test when there was a high chance it could have been successful and you just didn't give it enough time, or you say, yeah, that worked, but it's not stat sig, and you implement, and then obviously it doesn't deliver the result that you're looking for. So time is essential. I think, and a couple of things. So just a couple more things. A framework for experimentation is really important. And then just an agreement on success across all of the stakeholders before you start, so that there's no room for bias from the experiment sponsors. So the ones who have like come up with the idea, like they need to agree what the success outcome is with everybody. So they're not, you know, they're not like, well, you know, just hold on a bit more. Like, okay, it's worked or it hasn't. There's no room for our emotion in that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think hearing you explain this, it's, you know, I've been through like Six Sigma training and all that good stuff. It's like, there's this idea of, you know, the Silicon Valley, like move fast, break things, where, okay, it's really cool. We're trying a bunch of stuff and seeing what works. But, you know, what you're saying, I completely agree with, because that sounds nice, but there's a lot more to successful experimentation, which is actually a scientific method of doing. You know, you mentioned statistical significance. There's, you know, how you construct the hypothesis that you're testing, and, you know, you touched on all of that, but it's, I think it's very important that it's, that part is in place. The structures are in place so that then those teams can be more engaged and learn and everything like that. Would you agree?
Oh, completely. And I think that's what I love about the ability to experiment and test, because certainly as a marketer, you know, I came into this because I wanted to be creative. I wanted to innovate. There is nothing more powerful than innovating and then seeing proof of, like, you know, success, like in numbers, like that worked or it didn't. Great. Okay. Well, I'll go on to the next thing. But combining data with creativity is so powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we've touched on some of the, you know, initial business growth and success. And we've talked about the employee engagement component of this, but, you know, another thing I wanted to touch on, maybe the last thing we'll talk about here, is how good experimentation and a culture of experimentation is also part of a business being sustainable. And, you know, you've got a lot of people, in which case, you know, if they're doing experimentation well, you've got a lot of people that know a lot about, they're learning more deeply. They're certainly more committed. They're more engaged with the organization as well. But, you know, how do you look at that, as well as maybe other types of sustainability, when you look at this idea of building a culture of experimentation?
Yeah. So I'm going to say something really unpopular here, but I think if you are in like a fast moving agile business, it's really easy not to do this, but document everything.
Yeah.
So every experiment you've done and what happened and what worked, is make sure it's documented, because then you've got those past hypotheses and decisions to inform what you do in future. So I think that's a really easy thing for a more entrepreneurial business not to do. Yeah. Of course, experimentation is a great opportunity to work in the future and prepare for what's coming. So, you know, I was only talking to one of our engineers today about a challenge that just a few customers are facing. Well, what's great about that is that, you think about the lean startup model, you can create an MVP solution for those one or two customers and test it and learn from those customers and fix it before the rest of the, maybe the more pragmatist, not as fast moving customers actually get there.
Yeah.
That and you don't risk implementing something that, you know, those customers either aren't ready for or they won't use. You do it on a really like low cost, minimum viable product perspective, proof concept, but you are constantly future-proofing product. Obviously, it's really important to maintain that culture of experimentation from a retention of staff perspective. And I think it's really important from a sustainability of that growth to keep the culture of experimentation and keep giving employees autonomy to experiment as the business grows. As, you know, we create more silos and there's more functions and there's more layers of management, sometimes it can feel like, you know, we have to go through 20 approvals before we can get one thing done. I think if you don't give people autonomy, you're going to really slow down. Obviously, just give people guidance that instructs that autonomy, but let them go ahead and do it. And then also the one thing that I think is really powerful about experimentation, which is great for, you know, protecting future growth, is it actually really helps with customer retention. Your customers love to innovate. They love to be part of something new too. And what you get by working with them on your experiments is you get to leverage their data as well as your own and get to results faster, as well as obviously, you know, once they've been a part of decisions as to how to develop the product and make it better, they just become much more sticky. So I think overall maintaining that, you know, leads to a really successful business.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Christy, thanks so much for joining the show. One last question before we wrap up. You've talked about quite a bit today and you've given a lot of great advice already. If you had one takeaway for an organization that, you know, they're listening to this and they know they need to make some growth here in experimentation. What's a first step for them that you'd recommend?
Yeah. Ooh, can I have two?
I'll make sure.
So the first one is talk to your customers, because so many of the best experiments can come from use cases. And it could just be using your product in a different way that you hadn't considered because you aren't your customer, which can provide a whole new revenue stream for your organization. So that would be my first one, is like the best experiments, the best ideas often come from, you know, your customers. So keep that ongoing communication. And then the second one is just do something, keep it MVP. Always tie it back to company goals and objectives. Look at the data and see where you're going to have the biggest impact. And, you know, just try something. Do one experiment. It can be small, but you started on that journey. Don't let yourself be paralyzed with all the options.
Yeah, great. Wonderful advice. Well, again, I'd like to thank Christy Daw, CEO at Webbio, for joining the show. You can learn more about Christy and Webbio by following the links in the show notes.
Thanks again for listening to the Agile Brand with Greg Kilstrom podcast, brought to you by Tech Systems. If you enjoyed the show, please take a minute to subscribe on your podcast channel of choice and leave us a rating so that others can find the show more easily. You can access more episodes of the show at www.gregkilstrom.com. That's GREGKIHLSTROM.com. To get a copy of my latest book, House of the Customer, visit my website, or you can find it on Amazon or other retailers. The Agile Brand is produced by Missing Link, a Latina-owned, strategy-driven, creatively-fueled production co-op. From ideation to creation, they craft human connections through intelligent, engaging, and informative content. Until next time, stay agile.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.